Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal, text number 11. Anyate dam vidasyeham.
Anyate dam vidasyeham.
Ayata purvam ojasa.
Ayata purvam ojasa.
Kim ut anyai kala nir dutai. Kalpante Vaishnavadibi.
Kalpante Vaishnavadibi.
Anyata.
Anyata.
Just the opposite.
Just the opposite.
Idam.
Idam.
This universe.
This universe.
Vidasye.
Vidasye.
Shall make.
Shall make.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Ayata.
Ayata.
Inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
Purvam, just as it was before. Ojasa, by the dint of the power of my austerity. Kim, what use? Anyai, with others. Kala, niradutai, vanquished in the course of time, in due course of time. Kalpa ante, at the end of the millennium. Vaishnava Adibi, with planets like Dhruva Loka or Vaikuntha Loka. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By dint of my severe austerities, I shall reverse the results of pious and impious activities. I shall overturn all the established practices within this world. Even Dhruva Loka will be vanquished at the end of the millennium. Therefore, what is the use of it? I shall prefer to remain in the position of Brahma. Doesn't seem like he has this philosophy exactly correct, but he's quite convinced of the wrong things. Hiranyakashipu's demoniac determination was explained to Lord Brahma by the demigods, who had informed him that Hiranyakashipu wanted to overturn all the established principles. After executing severe austerities, people within this material world are promoted to the heavenly planets. But Hiranyakashipu wanted them to be unhappy, suffering because of the diplomatic feelings of the demigods, even in the heavenly planets. He wanted those who were harassed in this world by material transactions to be unhappy for the same reason, even in the heavenly planets. Indeed, he wanted to introduce such harassment everywhere. One might ask how this would be possible since the universal order has been established since time immemorial. But Hiranyakashipu was proud to declare it that he would be able to do everything by the power of his tapasya. He even wanted to make the Vaishnava's position insecure. These are some of the symptoms of asura determination. Hiranyakashipu is just expressing what everyone else is secretly hiding in their hearts. The idea that we can control the universe and change things around as we like. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, pravitim cha nivritim cha jana navidur asura esocham napichachuro nasatyam teshu vidyate. The demoniac, they don't know what's to be done or not what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found in them. In other words, they really don't have any good qualities. The Brahminical qualities are sama, dhamma, sapa, socham, shandir, arjavam, evacha, jnanam, vijnanam, astikyam, brahma, karma, sabhavajam. And out of these, the two that are emphasized the most are truthfulness, satya, and socham. So when it says in Bhagavad Gita, pravritim cha, nivritim cha. Pravriti means which, by doing it, one will become elevated. And nivritim cha, by not doing these, one will become elevated. But the demoniac, their intelligence, they think what is to be done is actually not supposed to be done. What is not to be done, they think that's what they're supposed to do. And therefore, viparitamscha, they're always striving in the wrong direction. And especially here, pravitim jana navidur asara, the jana, the people, navidur, they don't know, the socham napichachuro. Socham, what is cleanliness? Like a modern society, to become clean, you wash your hands with alcohol, the most contaminating substance that exists, used to become clean. And the socham apichacharo, they don't know what is achar, what is actually to be done. And the satyam, the first thing out of their mouths is usually a lie. If you ask someone on the street for donation, then they'll tell you they have no money. And if you can convince them to buy a book for practically nothing, they open their wallet and they're looking through the 50 and 100 euro notes to see if they can find a 5 euro note. They say, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. And if you say, well, I can give you change, they say, well, it's not my money, it's my friend's money. I'd have to ask him. So they're so accustomed to lying that to them lying is the truth. And the truth, if you tell the truth, then you're committing an offense, doing something extraordinary. Of course, the absolute truth is that everything here belongs to Krishna. And that's why they prefer to lie, because that truth is the last truth they want to hear about, that everything belongs to God. First of all, they don't know who God is. And if everything belonged to him, they'd wonder, what is he going to do with it all? Maybe that's why my daughter ran away with his boy, because Krishna is in control. He's the one who caused the whole thing. So they don't know who Krishna is, therefore they have some imagination based upon their untruthfulness, their uncleanliness, and their bad behavior. Therefore, they come up with a conclusion, asatyam apratishtam te jagara hora nishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kimanyakama haitukam. They say that the whole world is unreal. That there's nothing real about the world. There's no foundation. There's no God in control. It produces sex desire and has no other cause than lust. So the demoniacs say everything came about by accident. Of course, when you ask them, how is it that the planets are moving exactly in their orbits? Well, it's just an amazing accident, isn't it? It's a wonderful accident. Accidents are so wonderful. And why is it that you eat food without your knowing it, all the chemicals in your body automatically digest it, assimilate it, eliminate the unnecessary parts? How is it this coming? Oh, evolution. Really, can you show us an example of species which don't have these abilities that evolved into them? Well, we're digging into the earth. We'll find them eventually. When we hit the center, we might find something. So if you tell them what actually the universe is organized quite nicely with planets moving their orbits, the sun rising is the appointed time, sun setting is the appointed time, then they consider you a religious fanatic. You're brainwashed to thinking that there's order in the universe. Can't you see it's all disorder? Well, we can see your brain is disordered, that's for sure. And at least our brains have been washed, but apparently you have no brain that can be washed. Or a prophet once said, he said, your brains are made out of cow dung. You can't wash cow dung. The more you wash coal, you may wash coal, but it won't become clean. Simply you'll uncover more coal. So they say everything's unreal, so it's all by chance and accident. So does that mean that they can just stay at home And that by accident they'll get their PhD degree? Is that what they believe? The whole universe came about by accident. So why not by accident they can just get, one day a PhD degree will float in by accident into their room and they'll be a doctor or something. Dr. Frog. If the whole universe came about by accident, then why don't they sit at home and by accident they'll get millions of dollars just by accident? Why by accident planets have come about, universes have come about in their understanding? Why can't just a few million or billion euros come about by accident? And if all came about by accident, then why aren't more accidents happening? What made the accident? Why did this accident happen? Was it just an accident that the accident happened? So they consider themselves very learned. They get their academic awards by speaking these things. And other people, Svavidra Hostra Kurar, Samstuta Purusha Pashu, Niyat Karna Patiyopeda, Jata Namagadagarja. That man who likes hogs and dogs and camels and asses, they actually respect and glorify these people because they're smaller dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. But the Bhagavatam says, Yasyatma buddhi kunape trika duke swadhi kalatradi shuboma ijadi nityirta buddhe sanle nakari chish vagesh vabagesh eva gokara. That these persons are like gokara. Go means cow and kara means ass. The Bhagavatam is not trying to insult. Actually, it's Krishna saying this verse. He's not trying to insult people. He's just pointing out that anyone in the bodily concept of life is on the same level as the animals. Because an animal, if you ask an animal, who are you? First of all, the animal probably doesn't understand what you're talking about. But if you can convey the message, you animal, who are you? You. He'll say, well, I'm a cow. Can't you see? Are you blind? Have you been to school? Are you a fool? Okay, you're a cow. And an ass, he'll go, well, he's a cow, but I'm an ass. I'm a big ass. Yes, I can see you're a big ass. So a person who identifies themselves with their body and their minds, they're also on the same level as the animals. And the symptom of that is yasyatma buddhi kunape trikaduke. They think that they're their body. They think that swadhi kalatradi shubom ijadi. They think that the place where they took birth is worshipable. You're a member of a big country. We're powerful. We're like super tigers. We bite. Bow down. Yes. We're in a small but very beautiful little country. Please love us because we're so small and beautiful. Don't bite us. So everyone has their place of birth and everyone is proud of it. So we went to the parliament one day here a couple of years ago, and they have a whole history of all the wars that Slovenia has fought, all the revolutions they had that they lost. All the oppression they underwent, their suffering, and now everything is nice. No more restrictions, no more suffering. Everyone is free, dancing in the street. Everything is just fine and glorious. They have another plaque honoring the coronavirus and how we overcame it. So everyone thinks their place of birth is worshipable, and they go to a place of pilgrimage, but they go there to buy, to Loy Bazaar, to buy souvenirs to bring people back home. Jagannath. They go there and buy Jagannath stickers or something. Distribute to their friends. I love Vrindavan. I don't know what Vrindavan is, but we love it anyhow. So Hiranyakashipu was that class of demon. He didn't even know that Dvivaloka is permanent and that Brahmaloka is temporary. He never even went to, because he didn't go to school, he never learned his geography. But in any case, his idea was that by my austerity, I'm going to change things. See, he wanted to change the whole universe. We're just trying to change little things. By my austerity, I'll become recognized, people will love me, they'll appreciate me, they'll serve me, they'll glorify me by my austerity. Don't you see, I've come to Mangalarti 5 times in a row. Where's my sticker? By my austerity, this temple goes on. Slovenia, Ljubljana is maintained. And it may be imperceivable, but the Lord's ways are quite mysterious. So, everyone in the material world is thinking, by my austerity, my family is maintained. By my austerity, the country is maintained. By my austerity, things are going on. My enemies are being vanquished. My friends are being supported. So everyone is imagining that by their efforts, everything is going on. So Hiranyakashipu was also thinking the same way, that he was going to do an austerity, and then he was going to figure out how he wanted things to be arranged. And indeed, he tried very sincerely, with great determination, but it didn't turn out the way he thought it was going to turn out. And indeed, he was so determined that he came back in his next lifetime as Ravana, and Ravana wanted to build a staircase to heaven, that everyone who was in heaven, they'd fall out of heaven if they were pious, and everyone who was demoniacally him, they'd just take the staircase and walk into heaven and kick the demigods out. Not the type of person you want to meet in a dark alley. In any case, he tried, but he was insignificant. I mean, if he couldn't make it as Hiranyakashipu, then how is he going to do it as Ravana? When Ravana went to the Bali Maharaj's Sutala Loka, because Bali Maharaj was pushed down to Sutala Loka, as I've said before, and there Hiranyakashipu, or Ravana, was trying to get some donation from Bali, because Bali was a relative, somehow or another, distant relative. And he was hoping he would get some donation for his fight against Lord Ram. Bali was not exactly inclined to help Ravana, but he said, no problem, I can give you a big donation, a really big donation. He said, yeah, really? How much? He said, well, come with me. If you can carry it, you can have it. So he took him into a huge room, huge, spacious room, and in the room there was a mountain of gold. And on the top of the gold, there was some diamonds, huge diamonds. And he said, yeah, just pick it up, see if you can carry it home with you, you know. If you need, I'll give you a bag. So Ravana tried to pick it up. He couldn't pick it up. It was just too big. He said, where did this come from? He said, well, to tell you the truth, you might be a little surprised, but this actually belonged to you previously. He said, really? I don't remember, you know, having this. Where did I get it? He said, well, no, it was your last lifetime. See, in your last lifetime, you were someone called Hiranyakashipu. Yeah, I heard that guy, sure. He was, all right, Hiranyakashipu. Kijai. I have a picture of him right here, you know. I've been following him on Facebook. We're friends, all right, we're together. Well, actually, in your last lifetime, you had a fight with someone called Lord Nrisingadev. And in that fight, one of the earrings that you had fell off. And this is one of the earrings you had. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depends how you look at it, you lost the fight. And you were killed by Lord Nrisingadev. So, now you've incarnated as Lord, as Ravana. And now you're going to fight another incarnation of God, his name is Lord Rama, who's just as powerful, if not more powerful, than Nrisimhadev. Now you're just like a little ant compared to what used to be. And Krishna has not changed at all. He's still unlimited. And you want to fight against him again. Well, if I was a betting man, I wouldn't put anything on you. Good luck. So, c'est la vie. So Ravana left a little disappointed, and on the way out, he must have said something nasty to the doorkeeper. The doorkeeper kicked him. Happened to be another incarnation of God. Kicked him 800,000 yojanas. And he wound up back on this planet. So, we know the rest of the story, at least part of it. He didn't win that time. And he didn't win the next time. And he was never going to win. But he was determined somehow or another, this time it's going to be different. So everyone is taking birth and vowing that this time it's going to be different. People are even dreaming if I can go back my time machine and take my math test over, then I get 100 instead of 54. People want to go back and change it all around. But it's still the same thing is going to happen. Still everyone's going to be vanquished by time, as Hiranyakashipu. Although he wanted to change everything, he couldn't change time. He wanted to get benedictions to stop time, but time didn't stop, neither for him nor for anyone else. He wanted to change the laws of nature, but they never changed. He just changed his body again, that's all. That's the only thing that changed. So we should take lesson. We should see Hiranyakashipu as our teacher. See, this, we have a similar mentality in some ways to him. Otherwise, we'd be pure devotees. And rather than say, "Wow, Hiranyakashipu, he's really a bad guy," you know, whatever he got, he deserved. We should take lessons. He's in the Bhagavatam. Not so we can go, "Hiranyakashipu, boo." No, so we can learn a lesson from him. Try to see how we're familiar with him. Say we have similar mentality in some way. And try to change in our mentality so we could actually become more peaceful, give up the idea of controlling the universe, leave it up to Krishna. He's doing a pretty good job. He's been doing it long enough. He's pretty expert. And do our business, which is become Krishna conscious, go back to the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Yes. Jagannath Sutra.
So we heard how even though he couldn't even move this mountain, he was still fully convinced in his success this time around. And it's the same with us. Every time we again believe that this time it's going to be different, like you said. So what is the basis for this conviction? Because if we analyze all the parameters, it's odds are completely against us, but still we think we're gonna make it. So why? What is giving us such strong faith into that?
Well, we desire it. As it says, Daivim Eshu Gunamayi, Mama Maya Dharatya, Mam Eva Ye Prapadante, Mayam Etam Tarantide. This material nature of mine, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who take shelter in me can easily cross beyond it. Because we don't have sufficient faith in Krishna, therefore we have to have faith in something, because we're servants by nature. So we don't become a sincere servant. As much as we become a sincere servant of Krishna, then we give up our service to our false ego. And as much as we become a sincere servant of the false ego, we give up our service to Krishna. So because we're not mature in our service to Krishna, in our realization of Krishna, therefore we remain, at least partially, to some degree, servants of our false ego. And our false ego is very good at preaching to us, telling, don't worry, you know, this time is going to be different. You're a good person, I can see you're a good person, and so many other people have made progress, and you can make progress. I got faith in you, keep on going, kid, you know. don't worry about it. I'm rooting there for you. And even if you don't make it, still I'm you're my hero. I love you. So, we're convinced by our false ego. Just give it one more try. Just one more try. Give it the old college try. And we've been doing that since time immemorial. And then we forget. Because by the mercy of the illusory energy, we try and then we forget, like a dog. The dog comes to the table to get some food, and the master hits the dog with a newspaper and goes, whack! And the dog runs away. 5 minutes later, 5 minutes later, it forgets that it was hit, comes back to the same table again. So all day long, whack! And it forgets 5 minutes later. So forgetfulness also, gift of the material energy. Otherwise, if we remembered, you know, I was a mouse and that cat got me again, we might become a little discouraged. The material world wouldn't go on. We'd just be somewhere in Vaitarani River just lamenting, I can't be God and I can't be material either. It's just, things are really tough. So Krishna gives us a chance. And one day we'll wake up a little bit and we'll make some progress towards serving Krishna, and gradually the false ego will go away. Because we want it to go away.
Was there any practical use for Hiranyakashipu to reverse the laws of karma?
He's just a nasty guy. Just mean. As Bhaktivinoda Thakura said in his prayer, when I see people suffering, I become happy. Because that's why we come here, the material world, to become the Supreme. And one of the qualities of the Supreme is that he's the happiest. So anyone who's happier than I am, they're my competitor. I have to make them unhappy, and that way I become happy to see that I'm unhappy. So Hiranyakashipu saw too many people smiling, and he wanted to put an end to it. That would make him happy. That's called the mode of ignorance. But that's quite prominent in the material world. That's why people read the newspapers, to find out how many people are suffering. They hear about people who are suffering in other places in the world, they become enlightened. You know, it's not so bad here. I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm a good person. They're bad because they're suffering. And maybe out of my mercy, I'll send them a few euros, show them actually a good person, but not too many. Because otherwise I might be suffering instead of them. Anything else? Yes. You had two questions, or are those just two fingers? Peace.
Hare Krishna. I would like to know if I offend a devotee and I ask for forgiveness and the devotee forgives me, what else should I do, and what does Krishna say about forgiveness?
Well, I mean, if you offend, it depends what you do to the devotee. If they forgive you, then what else do you have to do? Chant Hare Krishna. We always have to chant Hare Krishna. The reason, whatever we're doing in this material world, we might be committing offenses, but we're trying to chant Hare Krishna to stop our offenses and try to avoid the 10 offenses so we can chant Hare Krishna purely. That's our aim of life, to chant Hare Krishna in pure love for Krishna, pure consciousness of Krishna, and develop love for all living entities in relation to Krishna. Help the innocent, avoid the atheist. So, someone forgives you, and then go on, chant Hare Krishna, and don't do the same thing again. You'll be alright. Alright, thank you very much. Grandharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.